Well, good morning, Journey Church. For those that don't know me, my name is Jesse. I am one of the pastors here. For those of you who do know me, hi. It's good to see you guys again. But whether you are here for the first time, whether you are here online, whether you are here all the time, I'm really glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us this morning. But before I get started, I have kind of a special announcement to make. I'd like to draw attention to a way that God has been answering prayer. You may have noticed over the last couple of weeks that there has been some additional cooing coming from one side of the room or the other. And that is due to our own little Archie Hatley sitting over here. Yes, very, very exciting. Back in March, Archie, who had just was only a few months into turning two, was involved in a traumatic accident, which left him with a severe traumatic brain injury. Which, I mean, he was in the hospital for only until recently, and so he, along with his parents, have been in the hospital watching their little baby struggle and try to relearn a number of things. And God has been so good. He has been so gracious. He has progressed and done things that have baffled a lot of the doctors. And so if you hear some noise coming from this area, especially this morning, every time you hear that noise, thank God. Thank God for what he has done. So yes, very excited you guys are here. Thank you for being here this morning. And thank you for bringing Archie. I mean, seriously, a great reminder of the way that God works. I'm going to cry, which is good, because this is where we're going this morning. I just need a second. Ooh, it's just very, very exciting. Okay. As we get started this morning, though, I am going to ask you to do something a little bit different. I want you to look to the person next to you, because this is going to be your partner this morning. If you need a partners of three, if you need a group of three, then that's okay. If you're sitting alone, it's okay. Just hang out for just one second, because what you're going to be doing is, over the course of this morning, we're going to have you share your deepest and most personal thoughts and emotions and really bare your soul to this person. Everybody good with that? From the laughter, I can tell no, most of you are not. Those who are laughing loudly are thinking, how do I get out of here? Which would be interesting, though, to see how many people showed up on a Sunday that we said this is what we would be doing. But we won't. That is not what we will be doing. Because, by and large, most people aren't super excited about sharing their feelings, their emotions, especially those deep-rooted things, with somebody. Especially when it's sprung on them in the moment, even if you know that person really well. I have found, though, that if you are looking for a way to see what somebody's really thinking and what they're really feeling, you just need to wait for a moment like this.
I'm so heavy. My mouth feels so dry. It feels not like a slip inside. It's way more so, more crunchy.
Do you need a drink?
No, you're too much, I know. Always telling me why to drink, who to drink. I said no.
Hey.
All they have is pudding, and pudding is the worst thing they ever made. And then they gave me crackers, and crackers make it more dry for me. And then I tried to get up, and they said no. And they put all these wires on my bones. I woke up, I had a hard cast on my leg. I tried to walk, they said no. I tried to leave, they said no. And then I tried to get up again, they said no. I was always trying to eat, no one will believe me. I was so hungry.
You just have to wait for somebody to come out of anesthesia and you can find out anything that you need to know about something. Now, I spent way too long looking through these videos, and so if you find yourself bored on an evening sometime with some just trying to figure out how to kill some time, just Google people waking up from anesthesia. It is hilarious. Okay, so if you've got any type of surgery coming up, though, use caution in who you ask to pick you up, okay? And if they show up with a cell phone, just really try to hold it together. In fact, as I was putting that together, I realized that tomorrow I have a dentist appointment that my wife says that she needs to take me to and pick me up from. So I don't know what that means, but in any case, as you might be able to guess, as I mentioned already a little bit, this morning we will be talking about emotions as we continue in our summer in the Psalms. And because of some last-minute changes to the preaching schedule, I, along with the Journey Church leadership team, thought today would be a good opportunity to take a stroll through the Psalms to look at some of the emotions that are on display. I was recently asked why the book of Psalms is important. Why is it even included in the Bible in the first place? And while there are probably a number of different reasons for its importance, one of my favorite reasons is because I believe that the book of Psalms is where emotions live. Just about every emotion ever experienced shows up in this book. Oftentimes I'll be chatting with somebody and they'll be talking about some emotion that they're feeling and they're not really sure what to do with it. And sometimes they know they're feeling something, but they're not sure what it is that they're feeling. I will oftentimes point them to the Psalms. To be honest, though, like I'm a natural born fixer, I want to offer solutions. I want to tell you what you can do and what next steps you can take in order to fix or identify these things. But if I can point someone to Scripture first, they're going to get far better advice than I can ever give. Because I'm confident that as you read through the book of Psalms, especially when you've got an emotion that seems to be getting away from you, Psalms is the best place to go. Because if you start reading the beginning and you work your way towards the end, eventually, and usually not after long, you'll find that same emotion that you've been feeling, that thing that you've been talking about. By some estimations, in the book of Psalms, there are roughly 20 different emotions or emotional states that are being expressed. If we had more time, it'd be really fun to do a quiz just to see how many you could name. Because even though I put this together, I don't know that I could come up with 20 different ones. But with so many emotions expressed through the writers of the Psalms, there's a really great chance that that one thing or those multiple things that you're feeling, somebody else has felt them as well. And so here's the really important thing that I'm hoping that we'll all get this morning. If the psalmist feels what you're feeling, then this is evidence that you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not messed up. One of the reasons that I think we hesitate to talk about our emotions is because we believe that we're the only ones that are feeling this way. And if we're the only ones feeling that way, then there must be something wrong with us. And if there's something wrong with us, why would we ever want to talk to somebody about what we're feeling? Nobody else is going to get it. Which then only leads to isolation and then separation from those that care most about us. And this is a really dangerous place to be. Which is why looking into the Psalms is so helpful in reminding us that, in fact, we're not alone. We're not the only ones feeling these things. The other reason that we don't share our emotions is because of some of the negative connotations that are often attached to some of them, like anger or sadness or loneliness, which will be some of the things we talk about this morning. And so when we feel an emotion that's not generally accepted as positive, we tend to keep it to ourselves, out of fear of rejection, judgment, or shame. However, emotions are not bad. You and I and any person that has been or will ever exist was created as an emotional being. No other created thing can experience the feelings and the emotions that we can. Because as we read in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis, only mankind was created in the image of God. And being created in that image means that we have the unique privilege of also being created to put the God of the universe's character, priorities, and promises on display through our lives. And so when we're experiencing any type of emotion, it's because God has created us to have emotions. Meaning there's no reason to be ashamed of them or be rejected because of them. Emotions are a good thing. And since emotions are a good thing created by God, it's okay that we're experiencing them. It's okay to be talking about them, even the ones generally considered to be negative. We shouldn't need to be coming out of anesthesia to talk about what's really going on. And again, that's where the Psalms come in. If you were to read through the Psalms, you would see that just about every emotion is on display. But it's the positive ones and the negative ones, which demonstrates further that they are all worth talking about. So this morning, we are going to kind of dip our toes into the water of the Psalms as we look at three specific emotions through three different Psalms: sadness, anger, and loneliness, to see how the psalmist talks about them and how he processes through them. We're then going to go a little bit further beyond the psalm to show that not only did the psalmist feel these emotions, but Jesus did as well. All with the hope of realizing that our emotions are not a bad thing and that we are not alone in experiencing them. Now, there is, at the same time, definitely a line where our emotions can control us and turn to sin. And so we'll look at that briefly as well. Your emotions are not bad. They are perfect for reflecting the character of God, for drawing us nearer to Him, and for acting as warning signs that something in our heart might need to be addressed. As we go through these different emotions, if there is one that jumps out at you, and you would like to know more about it, or you would like help figuring out how to process it, or what to do next, be sure to fill out one of those Connect cards. Try to get a hold of me. Well, let's talk about it. It's okay to talk about what you're feeling. Okay, so here we go. The first one is going to be sadness. So won't you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 42. If you're not sure where to find the book of Psalms, generally if you just grab your Bible and open it to the middle, you'll be pretty close. It is the biggest book in the Bible, Psalm 42. If you don't have your Bibles with you, but you do have a smart device, you can point your camera at one of those giant QR codes on the screen. And if you tap the little link, it will take you right to the psalm. But also, that link will take you to all of the psalms that we'll be looking at this morning. Reading our psalm for this morning. In fact, as the leadership team kind of looked at what it is that we would be doing today, a number of them volunteered to be our psalm readers for the day. And so, reading Psalm 42 for us this morning is one of our JCLT members, Ken Leonard. Thanks, Ken.
Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him and my salvation and my God.
Can you feel the sadness in that psalm? There's a line in there that gets me every time. It's verse 3 that says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where's your God? Do you know what this is like? To weep so bitterly, to feel so sad that tears are the only thing that you know. You're not alone. The psalmist knows it as well. Psalm 42 is written by one of the sons of Korah, a group of Levitical musicians and singers from the temple. And here he is expressing how desperately he longs to be near God once again, because more than likely he is writing this as someone who is far away from Jerusalem and unable to worship at the temple. Sadness is a natural human emotion. And it is a natural response to things like loss, disappointment, and simply by observing the brokenness of the world. It can come from our own personal struggles and shortcomings, or from feeling distant from God or others. Sadness for the writer of this psalm was rooted in his separation from God. Are you experiencing sadness? Is there some kind of loss in your life? Is there something that you once had, that you loved, that you enjoyed and cherished, that is now gone? Are you disappointed with something? Are there things in your life not turning out the way that you thought or expected that they would? Or is the world around you just simply too much to bear sometimes? You are not alone. Because not only does the son of Korah know how you feel, but so does Jesus. One example is from the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested. Because just before he was betrayed and arrested, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, where he had said this in Matthew 26. He said, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And then taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Jesus knew that there was pain and loss and extreme difficulties lying ahead of him, and his sadness overwhelmed him to the point of drops of sweat like blood. Are you feeling a sadness that completely overwhelms you? Jesus knows how you feel. As I mentioned a moment ago, emotions like sadness are a good thing, but it can become a bad thing if it goes undressed or becomes something that is bottled up. While sadness itself is not a sin, it can become so when it causes us to look away from God and to put our focus on our own hurt, our own circumstances, or our own expectations, leading to bitterness, despair, and eventually leading us to no longer trusting in who God is. Thankfully, though, our psalmist includes a guide for handling this sadness. As he says in verse 11, as well as again at the end of the psalm, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." By turning our sadness into a prayer and placing our hope in God, we run a greater chance of avoiding sadness turning into sin. As we remember to focus on God's promises, remembering all the ways that he has been with us in the past, all of the ways that he has taken care of us, all of the people that he has brought into our lives, we are better able to work through our sadness in healthy ways. I do want to say real quick, though, and this will apply to all of the other emotions that I mentioned this morning. Please don't hear me say that if you just trust more or have more faith or pray more, all of your negative emotions will go away. That is not what I'm saying. While I do believe it is possible for God to do things like that as the creator of emotions, I'm simply saying that choosing to remember who God is and what he has done is the best place to start. It is the best first step anyone could take when battling these types of emotions or anything that can spiral out of control like that. There is nothing wrong with being sad. It's part of the human experience. But like the psalmist does, turning our sadness into a prayer then becomes an emotion that leads us into a deeper relationship with God as we place our trust and hope and reliance in him to be the one who brings us comfort. And it's in these moments that we are more likely to find peace, even in the midst of great sorrow. You are not alone in your sadness. Our next emotion this morning is going to be the emotion of anger. Won't you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 137? Again, if you need the QR code, it is up here on the screen. Reading this psalm will be another one of our members of the JCLT, Miss Lynette House.
Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the joy of the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundation. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock.
That is a difficult one to read. And so thank you, Lynette, for reading that. But this right here is anger. There is no doubt about it. There are not a lot of places in scriptures that so clearly demonstrate this level and depth of anger. Have you ever been this angry? Have you ever been so angry or so mad that your thoughts are only on the utter destruction of the person who has caused you harm or caused harm to those you love? The psalmist knows how you feel. There are no clear indications of who exactly wrote this psalm. All that is known is that it was written by an Israelite during the time of the Babylonian exile, where he expresses profound loss, sorrow, and anger, and a deep, deep, deep desire for vengeance and retribution to have done to the Babylonians what were done to them. It is clear that the writer of this psalm's anger was rooted in the injustice that was done to his people by the Babylonians in the brutal ways in which they were captured and carried away from their home in Jerusalem. Anger here makes sense. I get it. Anger is another normal human emotion that often comes from a sense of injustice, betrayal, or unmet expectations. It's a powerful emotion that can motivate us to stand up for one another, to fight for the well-being of those being oppressed or taken advantage of, to protect and defend those who cannot protect or defend themselves. Do you feel this type of anger? Is the motivation to stand up for and fight for those around you welling up inside? If so, you're not alone. Jesus also experienced this type of anger. The most famous example of this is when he cleansed the temple in Jerusalem, as recorded in the book of John, chapter 2. It says, in the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. As he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. It was Jesus' anger that led him to put an end to the corruption and exploitation of worshipers that was taking place in his father's house. His people were being taken advantage of, and he was not going to stand for it anymore. As a quick side note, when I read this story, I often wonder what people thought Jesus was doing. I mean, he sat there to make a whip out of cords, which means I don't think he had it with him. He had to sit there. He had the cords. He's winding them together. And so I can imagine the people watching Jesus thinking, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? What you making? It's a whip. He's got a whip. Run. And then just panic happens as he's flipping tables and driving people out. It's a fun little story I play in my mind as I read that whole thing. But when anger is used correctly, as Jesus did, for righteous or right reasons, it points people back to the Lord, and it motivates them to live in the way God has called them to live. However, When anger is used incorrectly for unrighteous reasons, it leads to evil things such as hatred, violence, or desire for revenge. The writer of Psalm 137 reflects that deep anger of the Israelites, but it also reveals the danger of letting anger fester into a desire for retribution, as he even hopes for the destruction of their little ones. There is nothing good that comes from unrighteous anger. This is why the book of James, he says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God." And when it comes to vengeance, we are told in Romans, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Choosing to replace evil with good demonstrates the love of God in a way that is both powerful and confusing to those who wish us harm, leaving open the opportunity for them to be curious about God and eventually coming to trust him with their lives. Anger is a natural and oftentimes justifiable emotion, but it can be dangerous and must be handled with care. Now, what I appreciate, though, about this psalm and the display of deep anger is the trust that this psalmist had in God. Sometimes in our anger, we just need to get it out. We need to pour out the depth and sometimes depravity of our own souls. And if anyone can take the evil and malicious thoughts that fester inside our own hearts, God can. He already knows it. He knows what's in there. He knows what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. And so when we open up and we let it out in those moments, we are choosing to give our anger, our desires for vengeance, back to God. We are instead, we are declaring that we trust his method for justice instead of our own. And we avoid allowing our anger to move us into sin, leaving us to reflect on God's love, patience, and mercy instead. Are you angry? You're not alone. So then finally, we'll move on to the third emotion. I know these feels abrupt to like keep switching to these different emotions, and I apologize for that. But what are you going to do? Okay. sorry, that wasn't in my notes. That just came out. Finally, though, we are going to move on to loneliness. And so won't you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 102. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. Again, QR code is on the screen. And this passage will be read by one more of our members of the JCLT, Suzanne Isaac.
Psalm 102. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and is withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I'm like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink because of your indignation and anger. For you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear this psalm, as I read through it, I get this picture of a single person kind of wandering around through some post-apocalyptic wasteland. Have you ever been in this place? In this place of loneliness where you feel so abandoned that you begin to believe that everything around you is just as broken as you are? If so, the psalmist knows how you feel. Psalm 102 is written by, again, an unknown person, simply described as an afflicted person. And this is their prayer from a place of feeling so overwhelmed and so isolated. In this psalm, he describes his anguish, his physical suffering, and the deep sense of loneliness that he feels, or as he feels, abandoned by both people and God. Loneliness can also be a natural emotion experienced when we are separated from other people, whether physically or emotionally. Loneliness can cause a person to feel as though they are, in fact, very alone, even when they are surrounded by other people. These emotions are then amplified in those moments of suffering, of trauma, or when we feel distant from God. Are you feeling this kind of loneliness? You're not alone. Jesus felt it too. In that same garden where Jesus was experiencing extreme sadness and sorrow over the coming events, he had asked his disciples to be near him, to pray with him, to watch with him. And as Jesus prayed, he returned to his disciples to find that they had fallen asleep. Jesus had made it clear how big of a deal this was for what he was going through, why this was so important to him, and they just couldn't stay awake. Later that evening, as Jesus is finally betrayed and arrested, all of his disciples just abandon him. Leading up to his final trial before Pontius Pilate that we read about in the Gospel of Mark, where it reads in chapter 15, "And Pilate again said to them," this is to the crowd, "then what shall I do with the man you call King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, just a week before this, that same crowd was shouting his praises, was following him into the city. They were excited for who he was and what he was coming to do, and now they have turned on him. They have abandoned him and are now calling for his death instead. If there is anyone who gets your loneliness, it's Jesus. Feelings of loneliness are again a normal response to emotional or physical separation from others. However, these emotions too can lead to sin when it drives us to completely withdraw from our community, from those who love and care about us, or when it leads us to seek unhealthy coping mechanisms, sex, drugs, or even the pursuit of power. And then in this really crazy, unexpected turn, when loneliness turns to sin, we become convinced we didn't need anyone anyways. I'm better on my own. And we are convinced to retreat even further away from God and from those who love us. And so it's a really good thing that Psalm 102 doesn't end at verse 11, saying, "My days are like an evening shadow, I wither away like grass." There is not a lot of hope in that verse. However, even in the midst of great loneliness, the writer knew God was greater than the emotions that he was feeling, even if he felt far from God. Verse 12, "But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations." And then verse 17, "He, being the Lord, regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer." Even in his moment of great loneliness, he knows that the Lord is near and that the Lord hears him. Loneliness is one of those emotions that is really difficult to experience, but it can also lead us to a deeper relationship with God if we allow it. By seeking God's presence and staying connected to his people, we can find comfort and strength in those times of loneliness. And so in those moments when you feel alone, you're not. The psalmist knows this feeling all too well, and Jesus himself is very familiar. You are not alone. So, where do we go with this? What do we do with these emotions that we've just talked about? If you are struggling with one of these emotions, or you can't quite put your finger on what it is that you are feeling, might I truly recommend that you pick up your Bible, find the book of Psalms, and just start reading. Start to get a feel for the way that the psalmist talk about their emotions, the way that they express those emotions to God, and how even in the midst of confusion, sadness, grief, anger, whatever emotion it is, they seem to always come back to a place of trusting that the Lord is good and that he will never leave us. And they always seem to come back to that because God continually demonstrates his presence and love and care in our lives. That's what's so great about this book, even. Even if it's nothing that we have seen or experienced in our little bubble that we're in, this book is full of all of those promises. All of those moments where he did, where he came through in impossible times, and where even after long stretches of drought, God remained present. God remained active in people's lives. If your emotions are still overwhelming, I have just a couple questions for you to consider. The first one, have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you recognized that on your own, you don't totally know what you're doing? And that you know that you're living in a way that's causing you or those around you harm? Are you embarrassed to think that your life is so messed up, so full of garbage, that you don't even think you deserve to know Jesus? Welcome to Team Messy. You belong here. We say it often, we are all some kind of messy. But what is great is that because of Jesus, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, he has a way of turning that mess, this mess, into something that has value and worth. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, saying that he is the one who has ultimate authority in your life, and you believe in your heart that he died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, you will forever be considered one of God's children. You will be saved from an eternity separate from him. And that promise includes the third member of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, who then comes to live and dwell with you, making it possible then to know and grow your relationship with God. And with the Holy Spirit comes the fruit of the Spirit. We read about them in Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or I get those always mixed up. The two G's in there. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive these. Not access to these, but you receive these. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to keep our emotions from going over to the dark side. It is with joy and faithfulness and self-control that we fight the sins of sadness. It is with love and kindness and goodness and self-control that we fight the sins of anger. It is with patience and faithfulness and self-control that we fight against the sins of loneliness. Self-control plays a pretty big role in the health of our emotions. But without a relationship with Jesus, there is no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we're on our own to manage our own emotions. And I don't know about you, I don't think I'm going to last very long. If you haven't started your relationship with Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day. Don't put it off. Tomorrow is not promised to you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day. Come find me over here afterwards. If you have questions, let's hash through them. But let's not leave here thinking maybe one day you'll believe in Jesus. Let that day be today. Here's the second question. If you already have a relationship with Jesus and you know you have the Holy Spirit and yet these emotions are still running wild, they're getting the best of you, is there a sin in your life that needs to be confessed and repented of? If there is, you already know what I'm talking about. You're thinking about it right now. You're asking yourself, is it this thing right here? Maybe. No, it probably is. It's probably that thing. In the book of James, we're told to confess our sins to one another that we might be healed. Unconfessed sin that we attempt to keep bottled up and buried deep, deep down in our hearts has a way of turning into a sort of cancer that eats us from the inside. And the only way to find peace, to heal from that, is to expose it. But confessing your sin, even your deep, scary ones, and I know some of those are deep, some of those are scary, but by doing so, you rob sin of its destructive power. You rob it of its ability to eat you from the inside. And then healing can begin. Today is the day. Is there sin in your life that needs to be confessed? Is there sin that is getting in the way of you and your relationship with the Lord? Are your sins running, or your emotions running wild because you are hiding pockets of sin all over the place? Today is the day to confess it, to repent of it, to literally turn away from your sin. This is sin. I don't want this anymore. You turn 180 straight back to God. Today is the day. Don't say you'll do it later. Tomorrow's not promised for you. Do it today. Again, I'll be standing right over here. Let's handle it. I'm sure that I can find a couple of elders that can come help. I'm sure there's actually a number of people that would love to come help pray with you. Let's get it out. Let's heal. Let's do that today. If you have a relationship with the Lord and you can't think of anything that's getting between you and the Lord, and yet your emotions are still getting the best of you, they're running wild, give me a call. Fill out a card. Let's get together. Let's have a conversation. Let's see if we can't dig a little deeper. But then finally, if you are not struggling with any of these emotions right now, if you have in the past, might I encourage you to look around. Look for those brothers and sisters who could use a friend, a person who could use a partner to walk through these emotions with. In the book of Romans, Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We often say here, and I think I even mentioned this last week, we believe that faith is a journey that we take together. But more than that, we believe as a church, we are called to do life together. To walk alongside and support one another. To hold each other up when the other is unable to do so. To simply sit and just be with one another. To share our emotions together. And to refuse to let one of our brothers or sisters go through emotions alone. Won't you consider who God might have placed in your life that needs a friend? Emotions are a gift from God. They have the power to draw us closer into relationship with Him. They have the ability to point out something in our hearts that need addressing. And they can draw us into better and deeper relationships with one another through authenticity, through your being present in their life, and vulnerability. And because God created you as an emotional being, emotions are good, and you will never be alone. Let's pray. God, you are good. You are good. And you know what you're doing. You've always known what you were doing. When you created us to be like we are, to do what we do, to feel what we feel, you knew all of that. And so, God, I thank you that you allowed us to be able to experience this wide range of emotions in those ways we can identify with you. Thank you, God, that our emotions draw us closer to you, that we experience the same things you experience. God, thank you that you can use emotions to draw out those areas of our lives that are stuck or broken or just off a little bit. And thank you, God, that because of emotions we can be together with one another. We're drawn into these relationships. And so, God, may you use our emotions to do the things that draw us closer to you, to draw others that don't know you closer to you. God, so that in the end, you're the one that receives the glory. You receive the credit. Even when everything around us feels like it's falling apart, God, we can know and we can trust that you know what you're doing. Thank you, God, for your gift of emotions. Thank you, God, for your gift of one another. And we especially thank you, God, for your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who did what no one could ever have done on their own. Because we pray it in his name. Amen.